The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
Good morning. Is it well? Is it well with your soul? Real easy song to sing, isn't it? But there's people in this room today that can honestly say it's not well with my soul. Life's hard, life's difficult, life is tough. It's full of anxiety and worry, and there's the great unknown out there. And each and every one of us, we're in different phases of our lives. And some of you are here and life is good, but there's still an uneasiness in your life. There's still an anxiety. There's an anxious spirit. And if you were to be really, really honest with yourself, you could honestly say that it's not well with my soul. It's not well with my home. It's not well with my kids. It's not well with my marriage. It's not well with my finances. It's not well. As followers of Jesus, Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly." And followers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we're not excluded from difficult times. A bondservant, what we've been talking about the last several weeks as we've been going verse by verse through the book of James, a bondservant willingly surrendered his life. He had been bought with a price, just the way Jesus has bought us with the blood of Jesus. We have been bought with a price, and we willingly surrender all of our rights, all of our will, everything. Our will is swallowed up in the will of Christ. That's the way James identified himself as a bondservant of Christ. That's the way the Apostle Paul identified himself as a bondservant of Christ. I have no will of my own. It is Christ and Christ alone. And we can tell this genuine faith, this being a bondservant of Christ, we can tell that as we go through these trials. They're not fun. They're gut-wrenching. They bring us to the end of ourselves. They bring us to the end of our resources. But a bondservant of Christ can say, "I count it all joy when I fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith, the testing of your faith, produces patience." Hey, let patience have its perfect work in you. And we see as we've been studying through James that this isn't just a head knowledge kind of thing, a bondservant of Christ, that the Spirit of the living God is awoken, has given our spirits life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away, and behold, everything is new. We're different. Our spirit is alive. And when spirit speaks to spirit, when the Spirit of the living God speaks to us through the Word of God, which we're about to read in just a minute, when God's Word speaks to us, it's a spiritual thing. And what happens is that spirit communicates to soul. It's impossible for us to say it is well with our soul if we haven't heard from the Spirit of the living God. When God speaks to us, and we're obedient to do what He tells us to do, spirit speaks to spirit. It communicates with our soul, which is our emotions, our passions, our will. And that drastically changes the way we live our lives. We're not just hearers of the Word, we're doers of the Word. We're living out the Word of God. And today we're going to look at a passage. I don't know what sin you struggle with, okay? I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's anger. I don't know if it's lust. I don't know if it's control or worry. But I know one thing. Everybody take a deep breath for me, okay? If you're breathing, you struggle with this today, and it's your speech. It's your tongue. It's the words that come out of our mouths. We struggle with that. And as a bondservant of Christ, our speech should reflect that we don't have a will of our own. Our speech should reflect that it's my life is swallowed up in the will of Christ. And so let's read this passage in James chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and every bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Verse 9, "With it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring can yield both salt water and fresh." I want to go verse by verse through this passage, but I'm going to do it in reverse order. I want to look at verses 9 through 12. It's talking about fresh water and bitter water. It's talking about can an olive tree produce grapes? No, it just doesn't happen. Fresh water and bitter water. Water is a very powerful, powerful mover. Water under the control of a hydroelectric dam can produce, can harness electricity. It can be a very good thing for us. But you've probably seen video footage of a tsunami. Unharnessed, uncontrolled water. It's destructive. And I don't know about you, but there's days, man, I got sweet water coming out of this mouth. And a lot of times when we're here, we got sweet water. We can be fighting in the parking lot, and we can get in here and go, "Glory to God, hallelujah. Yes, brethren and sister, and we've come to worship. Yes." Sweet water. It's hypocrisy, but it's sweet. But we can worship the King of Kings. We can pray. We can listen to the Word of God. We can pray. And there's a lot of fresh, sweet water that comes out of our mouth. And it can come out of our mouth. It can be praise. It can be prayer. We can speak the Word of God. We can proclaim the gospel. We can encourage. We can correct. We can do a lot of things. We can exhort. And it is good. It is led by the Spirit of God and is sweet. And it is a healing balm. But you take the Holy Spirit, a life that's not controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you have bitterness. You have bitter water. Have you heard the saying, sticks and stones might break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. Anybody ever been hurt with words before? In school, and this is going to surprise a lot of you, but I wasn't the sharpest marble. Now, I wasn't real sharp. I graduated, praise the Lordy, okay? Yeah, thank the Lordy. And I've told you my struggle with math and science. It's just way too exact. You know, I don't like the exact. I like to write, and I'm creative, and I like to dream, and I can't stay focused. So school was always difficult for me. And I remember my mom, and my mom is probably one of the most godly women I know, but she was frustrated with me. And I remember bringing my report card home. And my parents always knew how I did on my report card by when I got home that day. If I got home in the afternoon, I did okay. If I got home right at night, Dad already had the belt ready. You know, it's like, and I remember my mom telling me that I was stupid and I wasn't going to amount to anything. I'm not sharing that because I'm mad or upset with my mom. My mom was trying to motivate me. You know what it did? I struggled through college. I even struggle today. Those words, man, they hurt and they cut. And we can say things, and we can say things with the right motive, but with the wrong intent or the right heart. And they can cut and they can hurt. We can even speak the word of God, but with the wrong heart or the wrong motive. And it, you know what? It crushes. With this mouth, with this tongue that we speak, when it's not controlled by the Holy Spirit, we can lie, we can slander, we can gossip. We can gripe and complain. Is complaining a sin? Yeah. Think about the Hebrew children who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years till a godless, complaining generation died off. Over 1 million people guilty of the sin of complaining. Unwholesome words. I don't have to go into that. You know what unwholesome words are. Idle words. Man, our words are important. When we start thinking about what we speak and how you can't get your words back, it's like if I was to say something slanderous about Hardy, and it hurt Hardy. And I could say, Hardy, I am so sorry I said those words. Would you please forgive me? He could forgive me, but I still can't get those words back. It's like opening a feather pillow and standing on top of a skyscraper and dumping those feathers out and trying to collect those words. You just can't collect them. The tongue does a lot of damage. Or under the control of the Holy Spirit, it blesses, and it's life. It's life or it's death. Let's look at verses 3-8. Indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Verse 8 says this, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. In this passage, you have a bridle, a bit that's put in the house in the mouth of a horse. A horse is a very powerful animal. But that small bit controls the body of the horse, the rudder of a boat. In comparison to how large the structure of the boat is, that rudder is tiny, but it directs that ship. You've got that. You've got the animal. You think about Trudy and I lived in India with the kids. We would see elephants, and the wild elephants always wreaked havoc on the villages. And I always wanted to see the elephants, you know. And so I'm driving through the jungle with our missionary partner, and about 15 yards from the side of the road, I'm like, there it is. I mean, they called this elephant Bin Laden because it killed a lot of people. It was this huge elephant, long tusk. And I see this elephant, and I'm like, yes, stop. You know what he did? He floored that thing, and he was going just as fast as he could. Because in my mind, I'm thinking circus. In his mind, he's thinking it's a wild animal. He is personally seeing that wild animal stomp somebody 12 inches into the dirt. It can either be helpful or it can be harmful. Man, when we're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, it is harmful. It hurts. You've got that animal, and you've also got that water. Given us these things that are very helpful for us. Listen to these passages. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's Psalms 141:3. Colossians 4:6 says this, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let our speech, let the words that come out of our mouth be gracious, be merciful, be compassionate. See, in James, he's already been talking about the tongue. He's setting up, because in James 1:19, he said, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And then go down to verse 26. He says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, what does he say about that? This one's religion is useless. You don't control your speech. You know, we can tell our children, do as I say or do as I do. Our intents, we want them to do good, but they do as we do. And I want to talk to you about this, and it's our last point. Verse 1 through 3. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I know when you look at me, You look at me and go, man, that is one fit dude right there. I am built for going downhill, people, fast. And in my lifetime, I struggle with weight, okay? I've probably lost an elephant in my lifetime. And I'll stay focused, and I'll eat right, and man, I'll train. And, you know, I even did a marathon. And nobody was chasing me. I don't know. I don't even think, Hart, you didn't even talk me into doing a marathon. I just said I want to do it. I had a temporary lapse of insanity, you know, of judgment. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In this verse, look at verse 3. Excuse me, look at verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if my heart is not in communication with the Spirit of God, my speech is going to be affected by that. And if I can't control my appetite, my physical appetite, whether it be appetite for food, whether it be appetite for sex, whether it be appetite for control, whether it be appetite for things, for a house or for a car, for popularity, whatever, for the latest phone, for the latest technology, if I can't control that, odds are it's a heart issue. And you know where it starts? It starts with speech. All right. October of this year, I'm going to be back in Nepal. I'll be at 14,000 feet. Odad's got to lose a couple pounds. Big Poppy don't need to be Big Poppy. He just needs to be Poppy, okay? So I'm watching what I'm eating. And you know what's continually coming out of my mouth? I'm starving. I'm starving. Hey, let me just let it be known. Hardy reminds me this all the time. Ain't none of us ever been starving. We might be hungry, but we're not starving. But when I speak, I'm starving. It sets something in place, and I hear it with my ears. I'm starving, and then all of a sudden, all I think about is food. Or I'm mad. That person did me wrong, or that person did my family member wrong. It starts something in place. No, you know what? This voice, this tongue, the words that I speak, my family can know if I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit. By what I say. It's either sweet or it's bitter. Your family can know the same thing. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we either speak life or we speak death. We speak blessing or we speak curses. We speak encouragement or we tear down. But when it's bitter, I'm not in control by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to give you some practical ways to help control the tongue. Okay? Remember, it's still a heart issue. It's still a heart issue. The first one is pray without ceasing. We gotta pray. And remember, prayer is not us just talking to God. Prayer is a two-way communication. I'm talking and I'm listening. I'm talking and I'm listening. And it's very important that we hear from the Lord. It's very important that we hear from the Lord in the matter that's making us upset. And God, what do you have to say about it? What does your word have to say about it? And when we hear from the Lord, everything changes. Doesn't necessarily mean the problem's going away, but it changes our perspective. Spirit speaks to spirit, speaks to soul, and then it changes us. It changes us from the inside out. Accountability. We don't need, and I hope, man, I'm talking to you right now, okay? I'm talking to you. As husbands and fathers, if you don't have accountability in your life, you are on very dangerous, dangerous grounds. You're on a slippery slope. And if you want to know about accountability, I'd be more than happy to talk to you. Hardy will be more than happy to talk to you. But Hardy, I'm going to change one of the questions we ask each other as far as accountability. I want Hardy Sellers to start holding me accountable in my speech. Asking me, hey, what's your speech been like this week? Have you spoken life or have you spoken death? If you're focused on the negative, you've lost perspective. Or is your life under the control of the Holy Spirit? And if I'm always just speaking, spewing poison, spewing death, spewing anger, I'm not hearing from the Lord. I'm hearing from Jeff. So pray without ceasing, accountability. There's a method. It's called the HALT method. Okay? This works with our speech. This goes with speech, but it goes with any other sin that you struggle with, whether it's anxiety, worry, lust. It works. And so if I'm hungry, if I'm angry, if I'm lonely, or if I'm tired, I just need to keep my mouth shut. Anybody in here beside me ever been hangry? And I'm not talking about just food. Man, I've been going to the sporting goods store week after week after week, and I've been looking at this new gun I want. And I want it. And I go home, and I'm like, hey, I want to buy this new gun. Nah, you know, this is just not the time to buy the gun. We don't have the money for the gun. And you know what? It's really not going to make you any happier. How many guns? I mean, you don't need any more guns. Get thee behind me, Satan. But I can say the same thing about shoes and purse, so... Oh, I went to meddling then, didn't I, Trudy? Oh, my bad, that's on me. Angry. Man, I'm just telling you. Unless your anger is a purified, righteous anger that you're upset about something, that God's upset, man, I'm telling you what, if you speak, you're going to be passing out Band-Aids. You're going to be regretting what you said. They will hurt. You speak to your children when you're angry, you're going to say things you regret. You speak to your spouse in anger, you're going to say things you're going to regret. You speak to your partner, your business partners in anger, you're going to say things you're going to regret. Speak to an employee and a boss in anger, and you can't get it back. Be quiet. If you're lonely, man, I get in a lot of trouble when I'm lonely. That's why I don't sit still. And that's why I don't like to be, I'm 53 years old, no, excuse me, 54 years old, and I don't like to be by myself. Because I get in trouble by myself. And when you're tired, be quiet. Just don't say anything. You say, that's a great little method. It's a great method, right? Yeah, it is a great method. Nice little acronym there. Real easy to, you know, just talk about, but it's another thing to live. It takes discipline. It takes discipline. Ask yourself the next thing on your notes, these three questions. Is it true? Is what I'm about to speak, is it the truth? And before you speak that, because there are things that are the truth. I had somebody the other day ask me to share my heart, share what's on my mind. And I tell you what, I almost took that car out of neutral and I almost put it in go and drive. I just said no. Because what I was about to share would have been true, but my heart wasn't ready to share it. Is it true? Is it necessary? What's my motive? To be right? To win? To change? And the last one, is it kind? Is what I'm about to say led by the Spirit of the living God? You want to help with your tongue. Psalm 19:14 should be something you wake up every morning and it's one of the first things out of your mouth. Psalm 19:14 is one of the first things out of your mouth. Before you go into a tense meeting that you know there could be conflict, there could be harsh words, Psalm 19:14, you need to pray through that. But before you have a conversation with your spouse or with one of your children about things that are difficult, Psalm 19:14 is something you need to be praying through and not just memorizing, because we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. And it says this. It's this great verse. It's a foundational verse. May the words of my mouth, meditation, my heart, be acceptable in your sight, my rock, my redeemer. My words are not going to be acceptable if my heart is not connected with God. If I'm not hearing from the Lord, if I'm not in the Word, if I'm not living the Word, not discipline myself to say, you know what, I don't need to speak. Virgil Carlton Handy was my grandfather. Short little guy, always jacked up, walked around bowed up like this all the time. Don't speak unless what you have to say is more important than silence. Is your tongue controlled by the Holy Spirit? If you're a bondservant of Christ, our speech should be controlled by the Spirit of the living God. We're quick to hear from Him. We're slow to speak. And we're slow to anger. When we hear from the Lord, we have to speak, but we speak truth, and we speak truth with the right motive. And something starts happening when you share truth, when God tells you to share truth and you share it with the right motives. It's true, it's necessary, and it's kind. A soft answer turns away what? Wrath. It does. So, is it well with your soul? Is it? If it's not well with your soul today, you got to hear from God. Hear from the Lord. Pray, cry out to Him. And ask God and pray the prayer. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to You, my rock and my redeemer. He's your rock. He's your Redeemer. He loves you. And He wants to give you victory through what you're facing today. Our prayer is that this right here would be controlled by the Spirit of the living God. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray, Lord, that Your word would continually to speak to us. And Lord, I just pray. I pray over the people in this room today, it's not well with their soul. I pray that they would hear from You. I pray that they would hear from you in such a way that your spirit would speak to their soul. It would speak to their emotions and to their passions and to their will. And it would change them from the inside out. And it would change the way they talk. And they talk and they would speak and they would pray and they would react in a way that proves that their will and my will is swallowed up in the will of Christ. Lord, help us with our speech. In Jesus' name, amen.